All power is given unto thee by the word that was in the beginning. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and no one who lives and believes in me will ever die. John 11:25-26. Now we see clearly before we begin this lesson, because this lesson and the one before it and the next one is one very complicated, but it is the teachings of the masters that give the chelas after they have gone through a long process of initiation. And I'm giving these lectures to you so that you will be able to comprehend the inner meanings of thought and action. We see then that Jesus Christ is the Master of Masters, and through him we have come to know the power within ourselves. Now, the Christ is the leaven. The Christ is the essence. The Christ is that particular consciousness that is aware of the Father and aware of that which is relative. It's the dividing line between cause and effect. It is the Word that was in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. And this Word remains immortal. Jesus then was the embodiment of Moses and all the prophets, and all the apostles, and all those who ever come after him, because he is the essence that is within everyone. And this Christ is the truth. I showed you the other night, did I not? The great truth, this, mind you, is relative speaking. And I'm talking about this, I make God relative. You must remember that. And God is not relative to me or relative to you. But the only way I can speak to you in relative words, therefore I talk to you in relative words to give you an idea of that which is within yourselves. But you must find that yourselves. I can't tell you that. You must find it yourselves entirely. But we saw clearly that was a dividing line. And that dividing line was the essence, was it not? Therefore, you have first of all God, which is all that is. Then you have consciousness, love and wisdom, ideas, and that is completely in this side. God, consciousness, ideas, which are divine ideas, then have love and wisdom, which are the principles underlying the divine ideas. All these are then in the essence, and we see here is the Christ in the essence. Beyond that, we have the ether, we have the atmosphere, we have the fluids, we have the solids. We see then that here is the manifestation of the idea. In the essence, it is neutral, it is passive. You can't disturb that idea, that divine idea, because you can't even touch it. But you can distort it here, and there, through your own consciousness, because that is the consciousness of God, including the life, love, and wisdom, and the ideas, all in the Christ. Therefore, the Christ knows the Father, knows the divine idea, knows the Word that was in the beginning, knows that the Word within him is created, and has power over all these things, ether, vapor, or atmosphere, fluids, and solids. Therefore, Christ has the power to alter and change any of these particular atoms Because you find that the atoms are here, in the ether. It becomes active, effective in the ear. This is cause and this is effect. Now, do you understand that? Therefore, the Christ is in you and me. And before we begin this lecture, I want you to see this clearly. I can't show you the Christ for the simple reason that the Christ was the Word that was in the beginning with God. And the Christ is not a relative thing. It is a reality. And because this is all real, this is all relative. This is all cause, and this is all effects. Now it's the effects that we are dealing with tonight. What is the effects? How our thoughts, emotions, and sounds come into operation. In this lesson alone, it took a month before the Master finished me with one lesson. I'm given to you in one night, because I expect you, or you are intelligent, you understand? Nevertheless, you will know what I'm talking. You will realize that there is a tremendous force behind all this. Now, vibration is a result of atomic rotary motion. The atomic rotary motion, the movement of the atom in rotation, creates vibration. It is the sound of life in operation, and hence the expression of every form of matter from the subtle ether to the grossest form of rock or metal. So we see clearly that in every form of matter, from the most subtle ether right down to the solids, is atoms in rotation, which cause vibration. And there is sound, because without motion there could be no sound. And with motion there is sound. And according to the rate of vibration, or the rotary motion of the atom, so is the note or the pitch of the sound which determines the kind of form there is. So all forms have their own pitch and their own note. Only the Christ knows that. But how can you reach that particular state of the Christ? Only by discerning your own thoughts, your emotions, your actions, and your experiences to see that are in your own mind and are not reality. If your thoughts then are built upon your experiences, built from your reactions, built from your beliefs, built up from any of your own ideas, you will know that they are false. You will know that they have no existence except in your own mind. They are not a reality. Therefore, if your thoughts are built according to your beliefs and your conditioning, so your thoughts will be according to your conditioning and nothing more. Isn't that true? You see that, don't you? But the Christ is entirely different. The Christ is aware of the creative power of God within himself. He's aware of every idea and motion that he creates. Yet he's not caught up in any of these creations of his, or ideas of his, or beliefs, or whatever it may be in his mind. He can discern them and stand aside and witness them. He can stand aside and witness the movement of his own thought in ether, in the fluids, in the atmospheres, in the fluids, and in the solids. He can witness all these taking place, and also he knows the vibration to begin with and knows what the form will take place. He knows how to transform the atoms of matter into another substance. Therefore, he can change water into wine. We have already seen that experience of natural phenomena is the outcome of a combination of vibration, in the first place, which is rotary motion of the atomic structure, vibration. The sensation of those vibrations is observed and obtained through your senses. And these vibrations or impulses are interpreted in your mind. Therefore, you see, you have a combination of vibration, sensation, and interpretation. That is your experience of natural phenomena. The experience you have of this table, the experience that they have of that flower. This table doesn't go into your mind, nor does your mind go out to the table, but the vibrations which go past through your eye and through your feeling, pass through the senses. These vibrations are turned into electromagnetic waves which pass into the various centers of the brain, being interpreted in the various ways through the various centers, and also culminating with the memory cells, which gives it an objective reality in the consciousness because you've seen a table before. Therefore, it gives an objective reality to a table. Therefore, it is mental. It is not a physical thing, it's mental. Because if you were not conscious of it, you wouldn't know what it was at all. If you were blind, you would not see it. If you had no feeling, you couldn't know what it was. Because these impulses couldn't reach your brain, couldn't reach the various centers of your brain so they could be interpreted. Therefore, you see clearly and distinctly that it's all a matter of mind. So the outcome of combination of vibration, sensation, interpretation, thus we know to be a mental process. This being a mental process, it can be arrested or produced at will. This the masters have mastered. As phenomena is a mental process, so can it be arrested and produced by mastery over nature's forces. Therefore we see that consciousness is cause. Jesus fed the multitude. How did he feed the multitude? By the same process that I am showing you here now, by reversing the process that you feel, hear, and see, and touch. He reversed the process from within outwardly and created the same sensations, the same conditions as you have now by your feeling and seeing. He then had the power, as you see, to change this substance, which either is the basis of all form, whether it is diamonds or whether it is coal, whether it is bread or whether it is milk, it makes no difference. This is the basis of all form, and in it is the atomic structure, and the rotary motion of the atom produces the material. According to the vibration of the rotary motion of the atom, so is the material. Jesus, knowing all this as a master, in the essence, knows the laws creative of the idea. Therefore, the idea in his mind was the manifestation, and his thought was the outward process of that idea, changing the very atom, forming them into the very solid substance, because all solid substance, no matter what it is mental. Mind and matter are identical. I know that this is difficult to follow because you have never been taught it before. But as you are an advanced student, you must realize that you cannot just sit and know nothing and hear nothing of these wonderful things. We see then that the subjective self has all power, and the subjective self is the Christ. The objective self is the outer self that is false, and has no existence at all because the outer self dies and passes away, but the subjective self remains and carries on. Therefore, all that is relative, whether you are a millionaire, whether you are a king or a queen, or whether you have red carpets, no matter what it may be, and so forth, I say, you will leave it behind, it will pass. Because as you die, you leave it all behind. That belongs to the self, that's relative. And because it is not eternal, therefore it must be relative. And because the outer self is relative, it must die with all its appendages because it believes that these things are physical when they are mental. The whole story is in one. There's nothing outside God. Science has proved so clearly about matter. Therefore, we have also seen that all natural phenomena are produced by thought and sound, which affect the etherons, causing them to form according to the idea held in the mind. Therefore, cognizing a piece of rock as a solid piece of substance cannot exist in the mind. The mind cannot go out into the rock, just as it cannot take the rock into the mind. What the mind gets through the senses is vibrations, which are converted into electromagnetic impulses, which is the basis of all form. These impulses or vibrations are interpreted in the mind, and the mind builds a picture of that phenomena. Therefore, it is all mental. Science tells us that matter separated from energy does not exist. And the most peculiar thing is this: when we apply energy to this solid substance, what happens to it? It dissolves into this, into liquids. When we apply more energy to the liquids, it dissolves into the atmospheres. When we apply more energy to the atmospheres, it dissolves into the ethers. And the ether is the basis of matter and the framework of which matter is built. Ether responds to mind and forms according to the image in the mind. Therefore, you have lost all this, all that, and all that, and now you're in the ether. It's the basis of matter. But ether is not a cause, it's an effect. Because here we see cause ends here at the essence of God, the Christ. The division between the inner and the outer. This is the subjective. All here is subjective, all here is objective. Therefore, all experiences of natural phenomena is mental, and mind and matter, although seemingly distinct, are separate, as we saw in our last lecture. Therefore, what I am doing is to take the mystery out of everything and put it into the realm of understanding. Before it was a mystery to you, but now you will understand it. And if anything is a mystery to you, it is useless. People talk about the mystery of this and the mystery of that. All you can do with a mystery is to conjure up in your mind an idea, a belief about the thing. But it's entirely wrong. You don't know whether it is right or not. But science has proved these things to us. Not only has physical science proved these things, but the great atomic philosophers in the Himalayas, who have studied for thousands of years, and through their experiments have proved that these things are true. And each and every one of us can prove the same things to ourselves. You are doing it every day of your life. I have mentioned before in one of our previous lectures that creation is the transformation of the eternal, everlasting, sublimated matter in the universe, known as universal energy. Science already has proved that matter separated from energy does not exist. Therefore, vibration is the keynote of creation and the rhythmic organizer of atoms into particular patterns through the idea held in the mind. This is effects, relative. Consciousness is cause, which is reality. Therefore, to discern all that is relative, we get behind the relative to cause. And that's what the Christ does. He knows the Father. He knows the Father to be himself, but he also knows the external, what it is, and therefore he can go into it and come out of it without being affected in any way. He could go into the tree of knowledge of good and evil and therefore come out of it without being affected in any way, because he knows the tree of life, which is eternal and is the salvation of man. He is the life. I am the life. Life in the Father, the life in the Son are the same. Consciousness is in life. Life is creative. Consciousness creative. Consciousness and life have power over all form, everything in creation. As life is the creator and cause behind all form and creation. And that is the Christ. Also, the Christ of Jesus, Jesus the Christ. Remember, the greatest master of all times, because I've never seen one yet to equal his great feats. And it is extraordinary because of the fact that he knew the Father and he knew how the Father created through him. That's why he said, I myself am nothing. It's the Father, whoever remaineth within me, performing his own deeds. Therefore, creation is affected by releasing an intelligent, positive electrical force, thought and sound, through the negative etherons to sweep them into the particular combination by the various vibratory rates according to the idea held in the mind, the consciousness being the power to set these vibrations in operation. All is electrical. This table, this water, everything is electrical because the atom is electrical. The very foundation of everything is atomic, and therefore it is electrical. The positive electrical force will constitute the nucleus that induces a magnetic attraction and cohesion, which bind together the etherons that expand into atoms, which are the basis of all form we call matter. So we see the positive electrical force will constitute the nucleus, that is the center, that induces the magnetic attraction of these particular, we'll call etherons, which revolve round, attracting them together to form an atom. The combination of these atoms then form a group of atoms, which become a molecule. And the molecules then also cohesive together because of the attraction and repulsion, or what we call the centrifugal and centripetal force. These moving forces, then in the atom itself, is expanded to the molecules and into the various groups of molecules, and you have a substance that you see as matter. The continued accumulation of vitalized energy atoms in the combination and vibration authorized by the idea will produce condensation and materialization. The individualized form is the variation in the rate of vibration and the resulting combination of energy particles and atoms. Every form has a different vibration. Every form has a different variation of vibration created by thought and sound, because thought and sound are the creative forces of the universe. Thought causes motion, and the sound creates or reduces that motion. And also that the sound of the activity, the rotary motion of the atoms, that sound you hear of these particular rotary motion of the atoms, which are invisible to the physical ear, but exist what we call in the ultrasonics range into the very highest degree. Not audible to the physical ear or to the sight of the physical eye. But when you see a piece of matter like this, we see that that is so. But matter has sound, although you don't hear it. The water has sound without you hearing. Electrical instruments have now been produced where we can hear the sounds of various substances. And all these sounds have a different rate of vibration. Science has brought into operation just what the great philosophers of the atomic structure knew thousands of years ago. The pitch of a tone depends upon its rate of vibration, as well as the length and frequency of its resultant wave determines its nature and quality. Everything has sound. Sound is a result of the motion. One particular combination of synchronizing vibrations is constructive, and another combination of synchronizing vibrations is destructive. Hence, given rates of vibration, visible form can either be created or disintegrated. If you knew the particular sound of that glass, you could break that glass into smithereens by the sound of it. You could twist this table. Ultrasonics have twisted a large steel shaft into pulp. Sound has done that. The ultrasonic sound has done that. Why? Because it breaks up the very atoms in that piece of steel. It twists them, it turns them, and causes their etherons or electrons to escape from the particular nucleus in which it is held, forming a new material altogether in the form of scrap. That's what happens. Therefore, the specific rates of vibration or sound formulas are keys of creation and disintegration, which are entrusted to their wise and perfect guardians, the masters. Yet within each and every one of us is the key for us to find. But when you are so much taken up with the external or the relative, your mind is not capable of receiving that which is hidden in the ultrasonic range behind. One day man's mind will develop toward that end. The mind that is free is alone capable of interpretation of matter through the guidance of the idea. We retrace back from solids, fluids, atmospheres, ethers, the essences to the ideas. So we trace back, and that is how the science is doing at the present time. They are tracing back from matter to fluids, from fluids to atmospheres, from atmospheres to ether. They are gradually going back that way, while the masters have come forward this way from the top down. Nevertheless, we will both meet the same place And where will we meet? There in the essence. For you can't go any further, because that is the cause. No one can get beyond there. No one can know cause, the real cause. You can only know effects. But when you understand all effects, you will reach cause. You will not know what it is, but you will know that it is. So Jesus was aware of the life of the Father as a life in himself. He is aware of life as a creative principle within himself. And whatever he thought, he knew all would manifest, because he was out of the relative. He was not caught up in the solids. He was not caught up in the fluids. He was not caught up in the vapors or the ether, because he was free. To further elucidate what I have said, let us look into the great science of the universe. There cannot be a dead particle in the whole living universe. Therefore, vibration being the sound of life assumes such vital importance as life itself, life in manifestation. It is impossible to think of a dead stationary atom. Whatever seems dead to the physical eye and conscious mind is only a transformation or a radical change in the vibratory motion of the component atoms. The atoms change to make up new combinations. You understand that, don't you? That is pure science. And each and every one of you must have read something regarding this science. Therefore, you surely will understand it. In the cosmic day and night of Brahm, the cosmic consciousness is withdrawn from the remotest celestial abodes into the center of the universe, and all objective life and phenomena are dispersed. The subtle etherons will continue vibrating in higher rates of vibration until the dawn of another cosmic day or manifestation, which will probably take many millions of years. Ether then being the basis of matter and form cannot be created without it. The idea in the mind then is withdrawn from the particular ether, and the form disappears. Christ withdrew the life from the tree, and the fig tree died. Then the eternal cosmic day, the almighty divine power will sound the cosmic harmonious notes, which will hurl the energy particles into activity and coherence again, into form a new objective universe with new and fascinating drama and phenomena for man to solve. Yet within man, this creativeness exists. The Christ is born in every living soul. Couldn't be otherwise, because the life of God is the life in man. Same life in the Father, same life in the Son. Now we see how vibrations can play a vital part in the intricate structures of our own universe and surroundings. Sound is the magical expression of vibration. We have already seen in a previous lesson how the sound of a note on a violin will cause air filings to arrange themselves into patterns. How the continued sound of a note on the violin will destroy a bridge. That the sound of a note in the human voice will shatter a glass into splinters. The power of sound of music upon the human mind is greater than seen on the surface. One combination of notes will create joy, while another combination will create sorrow. One combination will stir the soul into action, while another will calm it. While discordant notes create disturbance, another combination will create harmony. Here we see one combination of notes is constructive, and another combination is destructive. Sound and vibration are synonymous. Creation becomes vibration. Therefore, note, sound, and vibration are the same. Therefore, each form or natural phenomena has a combination of vibrations that are harmonious or constructive, and another combination that is the opposite to that which is destructive. We know that pitch of a tone depends on the rate of vibration. Therefore, the rate of vibration determines its nature and quality. And if the rate of vibration is known, phenomena can be either created or disintegrated. There is the secret lies in the very consciousness of man himself. Some time ago, I gave a lecture on sound and color. I sounded various notes, and you felt those notes right in the place where I told you you would find them. I showed you the high note, the color, which was violet, and the note that corresponded to violet was made, and you found it right in the top of your head. I sounded the note which was corresponding to red, and where did you find it? Right in the bottom, in the pit of your back. I sounded a note then again of the yellow. And where did you find it? Right in the solar plexus. And I sounded the note of green, and where did you find it? Right in the heart. That was the center for which this love of God and wisdom of God exists. And out of the heart also comes this as well, the negative. But it is situated in the heart upon you to create as you like, destructive or constructive vibration. Your bodies come under this scheme. This proves that the sound of the Om, the word of power, and other sound formulas repeated, coupled with the idea and awareness of creativeness, will create natural phenomena with amazing results on the objective plane. Ways and means known to the uninitiated seems to be a miracle, but not to the wise who know. Only to sound the Om is a stupid, ignorant thing, and the person who sounds the Om only and knows nothing at all about it is ignorant of the true facts underlying the Om. Therefore, anyone that sounds the Om and you hear them sound the Om, you know. If they don't know anything at all about it, they're a parrot. Now, what can a parrot do but imitate? Isn't that so? Exactly. So that's what these people do too, just imitate. But if you knew that the Om was the matrix of all sounds, and you knew then you were aware of the creativeness of the thought, and the understanding of the Om and what was behind it, then you would find that the atoms would respond because it's the matrix of all sounds. Thought also is the power of the invisible nature, yet it has sound. When that sound is reduced to the audible sound, to 750 miles an hour, then it is visible to the physical eye as well as audible to the ear. But when its rate is 186,000 miles per second, it is in the higher ethers. It is not visible to the physical eye, nor can it be heard with the physical ear, but yet the form is there. It is the difference in the rate of vibration that determines every form in the universe. It is the change in the rate of vibration of the atoms of the body that causes old age. Hence, comparative youth can be maintained by those who know the secret of vibration and can keep the mind and body youthful, which prevents the slowing down of the vibrations of the body cells. If you can discern what it is that causes the slowing down of the vibrations of the body cells, then you can dissolve it. But do you know what causes the slowing down of the vibrations of the body cells? I will tell you. Sound, of course. But what sound is it? Sound comes from thought. The destructive vibrations, which are not constructive, but are destructive, continually disintegrating the cells of a body by hate, anger, jealousy, and all these things. That is the destructive sound, the destructive vibration which slows down the atoms of the body. Herein lies the secret of pranayama, which I have myself practiced for nearly 20 years when I was taught by the masters in Tibet, and proved to be true. A man who knew me about 20 years ago thought he would now see an old man, but when he saw me, he could hardly believe his eyes, because I was just as useful as I was 20 years ago. So that is proof of the fact that it is true. And everyone has the power to practice and produce this particular phenomenon. I'm not going into all the details of the laws pertaining to this science, for it would take volumes to explain vibratory laws of creation. So I will confine myself to a brief outline of the fundamental principles which are practical at this stage. I told you in one of my previous lectures that each one has his own note or tone. This is found within oneself, and the expression of the Om in this tone has the effect of harmonizing the atoms of the mind and body. Remember that the mind and body are not separate, for they both interpenetrate. The thought and sound have the effect of creating harmony or inharmony throughout the nervous system. There are other factors as well, which we will deal with later on. First of all, I have always been telling you how to discern your thoughts, be aware of your reactions to people and things, to understand what your mind is and made up of, etc. Get to know what you are. It is not to cover up what you are, but to know what you are. Virtue is generally a thing to cover up what you are, but real virtue is to know what you are, and not to cover up what you are. Because if you do not know what you are, you will never free yourself from what you are. It is not believing in something you are not, because that will never reveal what you are. Only by this means can the first step be taken, otherwise you will be expressing what is in your mind upon your body with the result that no progress can be made, and if there is progress, it will be so slow that time will catch up with you. It is when you reach the timeless state, through awareness and understanding of the self, that real progress is made. But few people are honest enough with themselves to do this. When you know that you are free, nothing can harm you. When you know that you are spirit now, nothing can harm you. God isn't tomorrow. He doesn't come tomorrow. God is now, is he not? God is complete and infinite. He cannot be anything else, therefore he is now. Becoming God is nothing at all. Becoming is an illusion. Being is reality. Therefore, if God exists now, I exist also as being. I don't have to become. If I have to become, I'm going tomorrow and the next. I'm never anything. It's an illusion, and I lose myself in the illusion of becoming. If God is now, I am now. That is being. Most people are always trying to be something, practicing this and practicing that, so this can become something. I tell you, it is all rubbish and nonsense. And the sooner you realize it, the better, because you'll be led into the world of illusion. If you're not being now, you never will be being, because you won't be being tomorrow if you're not being today. That is why Jesus said these words, "He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and no one who lives and believes in me will ever die." When you plan an industry, you need a plan, a blueprint, then skill of instruments, the tools, and then the raw materials. The idea which is the living spark of consciousness contains the seed upon which the plan is built. Instruction is the skillful architect that works through the mind to shape the plan. The skill is the secret of production, the knowing how, which requires a profound knowledge of the nature of the raw materials and the intelligent, organized process for transforming and shaping them into the media required. Is that not so? That's how you build a great industry, in a nutshell. That's how all great industries are built. Great steelworks are built, great other organizations built in the same way. You've got to have a profound knowledge of the nature of the raw materials and the intelligent, organized process for transforming and shaping them into the media required. So it is with us. We require the essential knowledge, the rate of vibration of each natural element. Do we not? The instrument of creation is the superconscious, the spirit, which includes the will. The raw material exists in the boundless ocean of the electromagnetic energy which pervades the whole universe, the prana and the akasha. Thus, intuition, thought and sound vibration are the intelligent energies and electrical agencies of creation at our disposal. So we see the great energies of the universe are waiting at a moment's notice, now, and the consciousness of man, knowing, becoming aware of itself, is able to hurl these etherons, sweep them into action, and the combination of these create atoms. The combination of atoms create molecules. Molecules create then groups of molecules which make up visible substance. The superconscious or spirit consciousness assumes the form of each natural element, but still knows itself to be, and stands beyond to form creation. Thus, it is able to analyze and resolve it into its subtlest indestructible cause in order to gain a clear insight and understanding as well as control of that natural element. I'm telling you something that is possible with you too. As it was possible with Christ, so it is possible with us. These things I do, greater things shall you do, if you will but understand me. Hence creation at will is the right and privilege of one who has gained the understanding of employing his most valued possession, the superconscious, the spirit, the Christ consciousness, which is born in every human soul. We have already seen that matter is a form of condensed energy, a combination of revolving particles of two electrical charges, the protons and the electrons, which generate electricity and magnetic attraction, the centrifugal force and the centripetal force, positive and negative polarities. Prana is the positive of protons and akasha is the negative electrons. These electrons revolve at a terrific velocity around the positively charged nucleus, similar to our solar system. Those minute solar systems, which we call atoms, are combined in particular rates of vibration. The dense accumulation or the magnetic attraction of billions of these atoms together produce visible, tangible properties, which we call matter. Thus, each single atom contains a powerful sun within its heart. If we split the heart of the atom, we will find the sun is there. We have split the atom, but not its heart. What will happen if, when this is accomplished by physical science, will be the end of the manifested world as we know it? There shall be no solid substance. There shall be no water. There shall be no atmosphere. Only there shall be prana and akasha. All solid forms as we knew it shall pass into oblivion. That's exactly what will happen. And the masters know it. And they have told me so long ago. One day, he says, there will be that strike that will bring havoc to the world. Man is leading that way. But because he has not this knowledge, he is taking a path of destruction instead of construction. Little do they know, in fact, with one voice, as Jesus said, yes, if an angel came from heaven, would people believe him? Of course not. So therefore, it is for you to understand these things. Yet this superconscious, the Christ consciousness, backed by the infinite Spirit, the Father, which is within, can release the powerful positive electromagnetic current of energy into the ether, and thus start a causal motion, which will sweep the electrons into activity and induce magnetic attraction, cohesion and combination according to the idea. In the next lesson, we will come to the higher step, which is contemplation in the superconscious state, where there is a withdrawal from all these things. And as the consciousness withdraws, therefore it knows the rate of vibration of every form. The Christ consciousness is aware of this. It is within the soul of every man. But why? We have gone from the outside in. But Jesus and the Masters come from within. And when they do so, they are not caught up in the outer or the relative. Although they understand it and can live in it, they can withdraw from it. They can discern it. They're not caught up in it. But you're caught up in it. And that's your misery. If anyone serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant also be. John 12:26. Benediction. O great creator of the universe, thou hast revealed thy cosmic creation to those serving thee wholly. Within me thy mighty power dwells, and thy wisdom and love has drawn me to it. Thy love in the center of my being, and is the key that opens the door to thy wondrous creation. As I open the door, I find thee within, and I am no longer afraid, for I hear thy words. All power has been given unto thee in heaven and on earth. I thank thee, O great and mighty one. Let us enter into the sanctuary of the silent healing power. There is quiet peace in the silence of the mind. In the center of your being, there I am. God is not a relative God. We no longer make an image of him, neither have we a belief. We are free from beliefs and images. We are free from the idea of God. We have a living God. Then my life is your life. I am in you, you are in me. The Father dwells in us. I and the Father are one. There is no separate.